There's a story in the Bible called the parable of the unjust steward. And we find that parable in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, and there are many great lessons that we find in this story. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." Now, before we talk about this man and what he did and what we can learn from this story, let's talk for just a few minutes about what a steward was. I believe if we're going to appreciate and really learn about this parable, we have to bear in mind what a steward was in Bible times. You see, a steward is not the man who owns the property. He's the man that is hired by the owner. He's a manager. He's an overseer. He's the one who managed somebody else's affairs. He looked after that person's property, business, household, and even personal matters. I'm looking right now at the definition of the Greek word that is translated steward here, and it goes like this. This person was one to whom the head of the house or the proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs, the care of receipts and expenditures, and the duty of dealing out the proper portion to every servant and even to the children not yet of age. So this man is very important. He has a wide range of responsibilities. As you go back through the Bible, you read about many people who were stewards. Abraham had a steward named Eliezer. Genesis 15, verse 2. Joseph was a very faithful and a very dependable steward that we read about in Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6. Sometimes a steward had servants under him, and so he's not just one of the household servants. He's the manager. He's the top one in those servants in that household, and he has authority over them. Now, sometimes the Bible uses the idea of a steward to illustrate some point about the Christian life. Here in this story, we're going to see how Jesus used it. And you'll find also that it's used by Paul and by Peter. For instance, the Bible says that teachers of the gospel are stewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. That simply means that we're entrusted with the Word of God and we're to handle that responsibility well. We're to be faithful in that duty. In Titus chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says that elders in the church are stewards. And so God has entrusted the care of the flock or the congregation to these elders. They're overseers. They are managers in that sense. And they answer to the owner, who is Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says that all of us, as Christians, in a sense, are stewards. And so God has entrusted certain things to us, and we're to minister as of the ability which God has given to us. In that sense, we are stewards. Now, the story here is about a steward who mishandled his master's things. The Bible says that this steward was accused unto his master that he had wasted his goods. So instead of conserving them, instead of managing them well, he wasted this man's money and he wasted this man's possessions and his property. Does that remind you of some government officials today? Does that remind you of some elected officials who misspend and who waste the money that is given to their trust? They're supposed to be stewards. They're supposed to be managing it, and yet they're oftentimes mishandling those funds. That's what this man did. The Bible says that this man was accused to his master. So some people, somebody, or some people came to the master and they accused this man. They said, "Don't you know that your steward is wasting your money? Do you realize what he's doing?" Now, evidently, that was not just hearsay. Evidently, it was not just some kind of gossip, because the man did not try to deny it. So the Bible says in verse 2, "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of your stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward." So he fired him. Well, that got the steward's attention. Now he's going to have to scramble. Now he's going to have to figure something out. He's going to have to get busy and figure out some kind of plan. So the Bible says in verse 3, "Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed." Now he said that he couldn't dig, but who could believe him? this is not a just man. This is not a good man. I don't believe that he's telling the truth there. He says, I cannot dig. And it appears to me that what he's really saying is, I don't want to dig. I'm too lazy to dig, or I feel that that's beneath me. So he didn't want to do manual labor. You see, he had been in a management position for some time, and he didn't want to stoop to doing manual labor. And then the next thing that he says is, I'm ashamed to beg. So that was too low for him. He was too proud to ask other people for money. He didn't want to stoop to that, and so he's in a bind here. He feels like he's in a dilemma. He's too proud to do manual labor, and he's also too proud to beg. And so he says in verse 4, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Now, we'll get to what he means by their houses in just a minute. But he says, I know. I figured it out. I've got an idea. I've got the solution. You see, now he's using his head. He's using the same brain power that he was getting paid to use, but he was too lazy to do it before. And so he thought of a way to make people feel indebted to him so that when he lost his job, he would be received by them and he would have connections that would help him out. So the Bible says, here's his plan. In verse 5, he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said to the first, how much do you owe to my Lord? Now, evidently, these people owed his master, the owner, but they hadn't paid. So the Bible says that the first one said in verse 6, 100 measures of oil, and that's olive oil. 100 measures was quite a bit. So it may look to us like that's not a lot of money, but it was a lot of money. So he said, I owe him that much. So this man that was the unjust steward said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. In other words, you pay half of that. Then he went to another in verse 7 and said, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take your bill and write 80. Now, what is he doing here? Well, he's appealing to people that owe the master. And they ended up paying less than what they owed. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he had his master's permission to do this. The Bible doesn't say that his master knew anything about this until it was already done. The Bible does not say that this was right, that he had the right to do this. That's not the point. The point is going to be made in the very next verse. But I want us to get in mind and to remember exactly what has taken place here. You can see that this man is making friends. He realizes that he's going to need other people to go to because he's not going to be able to have this job anymore. Now, the question is, what did his master think when he found out about what he did? Was he angry? Did he punish him in some way? Here's what the Bible says in verse 8. And the Lord, now that's not Jesus, that's not God, that is his master, his Lord, or the owner of the property. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. He complimented him. Well, why on earth would he compliment this man for doing what he's done? He's upset with him before. He's told him that he's fired. And now this man has worked out this plan so that he can make friends of these people that owe this man this much money. Why would he compliment this man? Well, Jesus tells us. Because he had done wisely. The word wisely there means that he had done shrewdly. He was cunning. He really used his head. It doesn't say that he gave him his job back. It just says that he was impressed with what he did there and how that he had worked out a plan to take care of himself once he lost this job. Now, why on earth would Jesus use an illustration like this? The man has done wrong. He's lazy. He's wasteful. Why would Jesus use this as an illustration? Verse 8 is the key. If you don't see anything else in this story, it's very important to read verse 8 because this is the key to unlocking the meaning of the parable of the unjust steward. Jesus said, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Now let's start at the end and work our way back. Who are the children of light? Well, those are Christians. Those are children of God. Who are the children of this world? Well, those are sinners. Those are people in the world. And yet he says that the children of this world are in their generation wiser. And what that means is they are shrewder. They are more cunning than the children of light. Here's the point. The people of this world are wiser in their generation for their own purposes than the sons of light, which are Christians. Non-Christians use more shrewdness. They put more thought, more planning, more innovation, and more energy into their worldly goals than we do for our heavenly work. Now, this is not flattering to the church. This is not flattering to Christian people, but oftentimes, folks, it's the truth. You take people that are in business, they will put a whole lot more thought and planning and energy and dedication into their work than people do in their own congregation. When you look at the world of politics, you find that people will put a whole lot more energy and a whole lot more brainstorming and planning and work into that earthly goal than people in the church do to save lost souls. When you look at the sports world, you'll find that the level of dedication and work and activity involved in sports is oftentimes way above the level of commitment that you find in Christians in a local congregation. When it comes to just about any worldly pursuit, you will find oftentimes that people are more dedicated and more zealous and more enthusiastic and more hardworking about those things than the people that are in the body of Christ. Oftentimes in a congregation, people let things go. We get into ruts. There's a lack of brainstorming. There's a lack of foresight. There's a lack of interest and dedication and work, and especially a lack of shrewdness when it comes to carrying out the Lord's service. But this lesson does not only apply on a congregational level. I believe it applies to our personal lives. Non-Christians oftentimes put more into their goals than we do, and so they put us to shame. So this is a parable that Jesus teaches, not so that we'll imitate the example of the main character in it, but he teaches it so that we will look at this man and look at the world and look at the level of dedication that people in the world have for their earthly pursuits and then compare it to ourselves. In a sense, he's putting us to shame. In a sense, this is not flattering at all. But at the same time, folks, it is true, whether we like to admit it or not, this is true of Christian people, and perhaps by looking at this story and thinking about it, we can be honest and become more zealous for the Lord's cause. That's my challenge to you today. This is a lesson that teaches us by way of contrast, and I hope that it's helped you this morning. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful rest of the day.